Good day. My name is Sky, and I appreciate you spending some study time with me. I'm here to help you make money in online poker by teaching you key strategies and getting you to take action. Limpers are the weakest players at the table, and I absolutely love them. The reason why is because they love seeing flops and making big hands, and this causes them to play with super wide ranges, weak ranges as well, and this just makes them great value targets in general. So let's learn how to target and exploit the limpers. Go to the show notes page to help you take notes, smartpokerstudy.com/pod467. Let's get to it! Gambate!
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples!
So let's start with the definition. Limping is calling that one big blind bet pre-flop just to see the flop. Now, you can either limp first in or over-limp after somebody else limps. Now, if you currently do a ton of limping, I highly recommend that you go to the show notes page. Once again, smartpokerstudy.com/pod467. There's a link right at the top for you to learn to plug the leak of limping, because what we are talking about today are easy ways to exploit those limpers. You do not want to be exploited by the people listening to this podcast. So go there, click that link, plug the leak. When limpers limp, what are they telling you? First, they're telling you that they hold a weak hand. Sometimes they might have pocket aces, but that's just not likely. The limpers just want to see the flop with hands that aren't all that strong, but they could make big hands. They can turn into big hands. Pocket fours, king nine suited, 9-8 offsuit, queen 10 offsuit, jack 7 suited. Limpers see the magical flops that can come when they hold those hands, and they want that magic as cheap as possible. Also, limpers tell you that they're passive players. Limping, it can be a part of a balanced strategy, a balanced game plan, but that's only if you actively spend time studying it. Pre-flop limping leads to passive post-flop play. It's truly rare that you spot a limper who will bluff raise with a flush draw or a straight draw or even their two overcards post-flop. Most of the time, they're just checking and calling, trying to hit that pair as cheap as possible on a future street. But if they flop a set or they turn their straight, they're going to let you know with big bets and raises at that time. Limpers are also not positionally aware. They run the risk of a later position player raising or limping behind, and that just limits their in-position opportunities. And limpers rely on hitting hands, and that's because they just have less ways to win the pot when they limp. Raising preflop, it gives you the chance to steal and win it right then. Also, if your opponent calls, you can c-bet and take it down on the flop. But limping relies on hitting a hand on the flop, on the turn, or on the river in order to win the pot. So if we think about over-limpers, they allow others to get what they want because they're limping after somebody else who just wants to see the flop. They're not putting pressure on the other limpers. Let's all see the flop together and make a big hand. That's what over-limping does. And when I say, let's all see that flop together, yeah, it causes for multi-way pots, which are just harder to win in general. Now, the great thing about those five things I just mentioned is that limpers don't realize that this is what their limp is telling you. So their limping tells you all you need to know to exploit them for maximum profits, and is just a nice indicator that they're somebody to target. So you're going to exploit limpers by making isolation raises. The goal of an isolation raise is to get that weakest player to yourself. And that's because limpers are value targets, so you don't want to share them with other players. You're going to ISO raise against the limpers whenever the situation looks profitable to do so. Of course, you're going to spot limpers by their action of limping. And the best limpers to exploit also have a few extra characteristics besides just the play of limping. First, they're often loose and passive fishy players, so they play a lot of hands, they do a lot of calling and checking as well. If you're an online player, you want to look for a big gap between VPIP and PFR. Something like a 40/5 or a 30/6 player. And if you have the preflop limp stat in your HUD, or in their HUD, I guess, you want to look for 20% or higher, and the higher the better. I've had players recently who are limping like 50 and 60% of the time. Love those limpers. And if somebody limps a lot and their fold to c-bet is greater than 60%, What a great player to ISO raise and then C-bet bluff on most flops. Now, I mentioned their limp statistics, and in the Smart HUD, I have all the limp statistics right there for you. The ones you want to focus on, there's four of them, actually. The first is just their total pre-flop limp, and you want to look at it by position as well. Now, the higher this is, the wider you can isolate them. Also, look at their limp and then fold percentage. If this is anywhere above 50%, they're kind of happy folding once you ISO raise, so you can steal against them just a little bit wider. Look at their limp and then call percentage as well. Now, the higher this is, the more likely you can expect a call. So isolate these players more often from in position. Lastly, take a look at their limp and then raise stat. And you want to treat this the same as you would a 3-bet statistic, because that's actually what they're doing. Limping, you raise, that's the 2-bet. They come back over the top, that's the 3-bet. So anything over 10%, very bluffy limp raiser, but the closer it is to 1%, the more likely they're limping and then raising with like queens or kings or better. Now, when you're ISO raising, you want to choose an exploitative bet size. Now, there's the old wisdom, you've probably heard this before, of ISO raising 3 big blinds plus 1 per limper. But the goal of ISO raising is you want that limper all to yourself and you want to earn more money from them. Because of that, I recommend actually 4 big blinds plus 1 per limper and go even bigger for more value if you think you can get that value. Like maybe you have a mega fishy limper on the hook and you hold pocket aces, right? Go ahead, if you think they're capable of calling, make it 6 big blinds, 7, 8 big blinds. I've literally gone 15 big blinds with an ISO raise before and I've gotten called by a small pocket pair because these fishy players just cannot give up a pair. They want to hit that set on the flop. So if you have a value hand and they're going to call, make a bigger raise. Now you want to think about your range of hands when ISO raising. Here's a key idea. You must expect the limper to call your raise. The reason why is because they limped to see the flop. They think their hand is good enough. They won't generally respect your raise. They just don't give up that quickly that often, right? So it is okay to isolate with your entire open raising range. Let's imagine you're using the KISS cash game ranges. Your cutoff open raising range is a 21% range. You can use that full range. But if you're going to be making 5 or 6 big blinds and you expect to see a flop, that flop is going to be 12 big blinds or more. I should say 10 big blinds or more. Be aware of that. Choose hands, adjust your range, but choose hands that you want to see the flop with. And of course, you have to plan for post-flop play. So before you ISO raise, keep these ideas in mind. You want to think about your flop position against the limper. If you're going to be in position, you can value bet and bluff bet more liberally post-flop. Also think about the flop pot size, the limper's stack size, and the stack to pot ratio, what that's going to be. The stack to pot ratio is just the size of the stack to the size of the pot. If the stack to pot ratio is 3 or less, your opponent's going to be more committed to the hand. So imagine the pot is only $1. If your opponent has $2, that's a 2 stack to pot ratio. That's less than 3. You won't get him to fold any pair or any draw. However, the good aspect of that is he's going to give you value with all of those hands. And of course, you want to think about the limper's post-flop tendencies. If he's a flop honest player, like I mentioned before, great. ISO raise and then bluff C-bet. Super simple profits right there. But if he's turn honest, you got to plan on barrel bluffing to win the pot. So keep that SPR in mind once again. Now, there are some things to watch out for. You cannot just willy-nilly ISO raise the limpers. You want to ISO raise when you know it's profitable. The first thing to be aware of is 3-bettors, specifically players capable of 3-bet bluffing who are still to act. Now, thanks to coaches like me and articles and podcasts like this, right? People know the value in ISO raising. So let's take that to the next level. There's value in targeting and exploiting the ISO raisers. So the smart, tight aggressive, and loose aggressive players at your table, they look for ISO raisers like you, and they 3-bet bluff you for more profits. Let's do the math real quick. A standard 9 big blind 3-bet. It might earn 4.5 big blinds from the open raiser and the two blinds. However, a 3-bet bluff versus an ISO raiser might earn 7.5 big blinds. You got the limper, you got the ISO raiser, maybe he made it 5 big blinds, and then you have the blinds. Boom! 7.5 big blinds for a simple 3-bet bluff. So always look ahead for 3-bettors who are still to act before you ISO raise. Now this means you might have to make your ISO raise size bigger to discourage their 3-bet, or just fold, don't ISO raise so that you don't give them a great opportunity. Also, plan your response to any 3-bet before you ISO raise. But here's the great news for all this. I want you to also exploit the ISO raisers. So the next time that you're playing and a tight aggressive or a loose aggressive seemingly competent player, when they ISO raise to 4 or 5 big blinds, and if you suspect they just want that limper to themselves and they have a wide range, go ahead and 3-bet bluff them. Okay, the second thing to watch out for are short stacked limpers. We talked about SPR, the stack to pot ratio, and that's the reason why watch out for the shorties, because you want them to generally have 40 big blinds or more in their stack. And I can't tell you how many times I've ISO raised versus a 20 big blind stack, and they just limp, I ISO raise, and they shove over me. It's possible that they planned this from the start, or they limped because they want to see a flop with 10 jack suited, something like that, but they face your raise and they just say, ah, oh well, let's get it in, and they shove on you. So you want those larger stacks so that stack to pot ratio is higher, and that gives you more room to maneuver post flop when it comes to bluffing, and it also gives you potentially more value if you flop a good hand. The third thing to watch out for are non-frequent limpers. So if someone rarely or maybe never limps, or they're a competent tight aggressive or loose aggressive player, be sure to watch out. There's a good chance they are trying to trap you. And the fourth thing to watch out for, you want to tighten your ISO raising range in the blinds. Now, ISO raising with a hand like Jack 8 suited on the button, that's one thing. It's entirely a different thing when you do it from the blinds and you're going to see the flop out of position in a bloated pot. Remember, you expect that limper to call. When you ISO raise with a hand like Jack 8 suited out of position, there's two big disadvantages. Number one, of course, is the positional disadvantage. You already know your opponent doesn't like to fold, so they're not likely to fold right now, and you're probably going to see the flop, and you're going to be out of position. They're going to be in position against you, so they have more information to act on all of the following streets. And with that Jack 8 suited, you're probably going to have to bluff them to win the pot. And of course, it's harder to do so when you're out of position. The second disadvantage is an equity disadvantage. Think about Jack 8 suited. It probably doesn't have great equity against your limper's calling range. They're going to call with all Ace X, King X, Queen X hands, and if they have a jack, it's probably going to be Jack 10 and Jack 9 better than your Jack 8. And all those pocket pairs, sure, against pocket fives, you're almost a 50-50 chop against them, but you have to hit a jack or an 8 to actually beat those fives. Earlier I mentioned the smart HUD and all the limping stats that are in that, and I really have to thank some awesome poker peeps who recently purchased the smart HUD for Poker Tracker 4 from me. You can get it for yourself by going to smartpokerstudy.com/smarthud. But I gotta thank Roman Flair, Jua Shawkat, Michael Ross, Yaroslav Vrana, William Hernsberger, Carlin Green, Leif Kirshner, Alex Wernley, David Escobosa, Fred, Eric Bell, Ollie Fremont, Jan Stonholz, Monica Nilsson, Domenico Lanzalotti, David, Scott Mikek, Richard Glennie, Yashar Raver, Giuliano Pietoso, Daniel Kelly, Jim Hardesty, James Brennan, Darren Clare, Joshua Hillman, Craig Armstrong, Alberto Preddy, Eric Stewart, Chris Bremer, Daniel Marodi, I know, a lot of names. Bear with me. Patrick Fitzgerald, Frank Gonzalez, James Bingham, Thomas Wilson, Scott Doman, James Rothwell, Joel Blades, Chad Johnston, Nate LeChance, love that name, LeChance. What kind of name is Chance? My mama took one. Can you name that movie? Paul Boyers, Christopher Klinsky, Lawrence Weiss, Matthew Nickel, Michael Abella, Stephen Andrews, Charlie Dainty, Kenneth Callens, Adam Stern, Amber Cravens, David Hutchinson, Nguyen Hung, John Hasselfeldt, and the awesome Sven Nauser. Wow, lots of names. Thank you so much for getting the Smart HUD. If you want this limper exploiting HUD for yourself, get it today. It's a Poker Tracker 4 HUD, remember, but go to smartpokerstudy.com/smarthud. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. In your next 3 sessions, focus on exploiting the limpers. When you hold a hand worthy of isolating, choose a good raise size and pull the trigger. The limper will probably call, so plan for post-flop play. Also, look out for 3-bet bluffers and do your best to 3-bet bluff the isolation raisers too. Now it's your turn to pull the trigger and do something positive for your poker game.
Oh, that's it now. Get out there and be somebody. Go write a book.
Thanks again so much for listening today. Please go to the show notes page, smartpokerstudy.com/pod467. And while you're there, in the sidebar at the top, sign up for my free online poker training called How to Win Online Poker Workshop. You're going to learn the 3 secrets to propel your micro stakes profits and get you building that bankroll, baby. Once again, in the sidebar at the top. Until next time, take action both on and off the felt to become the player that you want to be.